Welcome to the continued podcast adventures of three opinionated guys with mics and too much free time. Strong enough to stop a speeding movie rumor, more powerful than a bad comic book event, able to waste hours of time asking stupid questions to people who have better things to do. It's Dave, Ben, and John. It's Superhero Speak.
Hey, everyone. You're listening to Superhero Speak. And I'm your host, Dave.
And Ben.
And I'm consternated, John.
Isn't that redundant?
I think so.
Possibly.
So what are we here for today, Dave?
Oh, well, you know, it's the end of the summer, guys. It's officially Labor Day, and summer's over. That means the fall TV lineup is right around the corner.
And by right around the corner, you mean nearly half a month away, or a month away in some cases.
It depends on the show, but yes.
That means there's only like a month away before we find out how they're going to merge the Supergirl and Flash universes.
Yep.
Yes.
It's going to be all Barry's fault.
Well, of course, that goes without saying, but that's okay. We'll give him that one.
Oh, poor Barry. Poor Barry. Does everything based on emotion.
Yes.
And it doesn't look like that's going to work out well for him.
But it's usually a fast motion, so that's okay.
That's not what she said.
Oh,
snap. All right.
Talk about things that were addressed in the first Flash series, but not in this one.
So are we going to start with Flash out of her?
Apparently, you know.
Oh, I didn't mean to do that. What were we supposed to talk about first?
Some people don't understand segues.
I do. You step on it, you lean forward, and it moves. That's how it works, right?
Pretty much.
Yes, thank you. That's exactly and right. If it's made in China, it then bursts into flame.
That's a similar device. You should talk to your doctor about it.
Anyway. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
So, yeah. So, all the shows will be returning this season that we watch, anyway.
And some others.
That would be Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Arrow, Flash, Legends of Tomorrow, and Supergirl.
And Lucifer. Lucifer's a superhero, right?
No.
He's powerful. I'll give you that.
Damn it.
There are...
Some would argue he's in charge of the White House, but that's another story.
Let's not go down that rabbit hole now.
Yeah, please, no.
Hey, you're the one...
You keep your chocolate out of my peanut butter.
I know. Oh, I know who else. MacGyver.
Oh.
Oh.
Is that actually going to make it onto television?
Yes, it is. It starts this fall.
I know, but I heard that like they had showed a preview of the pilot, and then they ended up taking it back to completely retool it afterward.
I wouldn't be surprised. That is not something that you can do without Dean Anderson. I mean, it was more personality than the fact that he was basically, you know, able to do life hacks all over the place.
I don't think he holds exclusive privilege to that mindset and attitude. I think you can do it without him, although he should at least make a cameo. But I think that if you're going to reboot it, don't just reboot it and try to make it the exact same character doing the exact same things, essentially. Like, I feel like they should make it, I don't know. But my inclination is to make it semi-generational. Like, make it something new. A similar concept, but around a different generation character.
Well, let's just say the premiere date is set for September 23rd of this year on CBS. So,
you heard it here first.
Yes, it's still going forward. No, and I agree. Like all the previews I've seen, it looks like it really does look like it's a rehash of the original series, just told in modern times. Yeah. And it's like, is that really going to fly with today's audiences?
Yeah, and who knows? The lead actor might wreak havoc with the part.
You know what they could have done? They could have done, instead of MacGyver, they could have done Forge from the Marvel Universe.
Perhaps.
Because that's what MacGyver is. It's just Forge without powers.
And no one got the joke I just...
What joke?
The actor who's playing MacGyver is the guy who played Havoc in the most recent X-Men movies.
Oh, perfect.
Yes. So is he going to wreak havoc on...
On the
part. Role. Yes, that was the joke.
Right.
I just kind of ignored it. But
could you explain that to me once more? Because I think it'll get funnier.
All right, so there's this guy.
Because jokes only get funnier the more you explain them.
Right. Well, before...
That's how humor works.
Before all of that happens, our first and foremost premiere this fall season is the one that I think most of us can agree is at least consistent in its entertaining nature.
Yes.
And that would
Oh, I know what that is. Gotham. It's a very low entertainment value.
It does have it is consistent, but that is not what I was speaking.
Okay, then what is it?
I actually don't even know when that's premiering. I'm sure it's probably soon. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. premieres yes. on September 20th. And we already know that they will be introducing an interesting new hero to the mix of things.
Yes, Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. now with more whips and chains.
And that's why they moved to 10 o'clock.
Well, I mean, first off, you know, they ended in an interesting place last season where they kind of did a flash forward to, and I'm sure what they'll do is they'll show that exact scene
yeah.
at the beginning of this season. Daisy has left
she's left the reservation.
Agency.
Yes.
She left the reservation. Ward is finally dead.
Is he really?
Perhaps.
Is he really? This is Marvel.
He's been blown up. We don't know how resilient Hive really is.
I'm hoping he's finally dead. How's that?
Why don't they learn their lesson and just, if they need to get rid of somebody, drop them into the sun? Unless they're like Superman, then that doesn't work. But
their technology isn't quite at that level yet to send something to the sun that easily. But that aside, I think the important thing is, yes, is what Davis is framing is where things were left. And part of where things were left is that we know that Coulson's no longer a director.
Yeah,
that was sort of a big, weird, open question. Mm. One that did kind of get addressed in interviews over the summer via the various cons. And one of the explanations there is that actually it's a sensible move, because now that after the events of Civil War and the Sokovia Accords, S.H.I.E.L.D. is back and official again. But being back and official, you can't really have someone who is known and presumed dead as your public-facing director.
Right.
So that's where they bring in a new guy to be the director. But so Coulson's still a powerful player. He's just much more covert and behind the scenes.
They could have left him as double secret director. I mean, you know, seriously, yeah. I mean, they're going to have to go through a live explanation for this, because he's the one that kept S.H.I.E.L.D. up and running this whole time. B, he gave his freaking hand for it.
Right.
And C, none of this works without him. I mean, he's the one who came up with. I know. But the thing is that they can't just make him a normal agent anymore, because, I mean, he's the one that was the reason why Sokovia survived, was because, you know, he had the foresight to put one of the helicarriers back into operation in order to help them.
Let me ask you a question, though. What is the name of the show?
Oh, go to hell.
It's not called Coulson, Director of S.H.I.E.L.D.
It's Coulson's Agents.
It's called Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
So he can be an agent again. I like him better as an agent anyway. I think the director put a little too much in his hands.
Yep.
And but I don't think they're actually going to have to explain a lot, really, to get this situated. I'm on board, and I'm willing to hear it out and see how it plays out. And I'm sure it plays into some bigger plot line that they have yet to completely reveal to us.
I will agree to wait and see, but the way S.H.I.E.L.D. has been written up to now has been extremely good. There have been rational explanations for everything. Yes, I know I'm saying that about something that shows people with superpowers, but it would have to be a really good explanation why they would take somebody with the amount of capability and experience that Coulson has and knock him down to an agent, and A, try to write the character as being happy about it in a believable way, and B, having everybody else's characters written in such a way as they accept that.
I think he's going to volunteer. I don't think it's necessarily going to be that he's forced into that role. I think that he's going to, I think that what we're going to see is that as this unfolds, he's going to voluntarily step down from the director position to something more covert, because he sees that because he'd rather keep his anonymity and keep himself out of the spotlight than to sort of re-announce himself as being a public figure.
The only way I see this working is if at the end of this season, it's revealed that he's started S.W.O.R.D. on the side and he helps with the Infinity Wars.
Okay. I think there's room for S.W.O.R.D. We need to find our Agent Brandt, though.
They have a ship, don't they?
Typically, yes.
No. S.W.O.R.D., show? S.W.O.R.D. was, well, S.W.O.R.D., if I remember my Marvel mythology correctly, was started because they got hold of a Kree ship, I guess?
Yeah. No, yeah, that's what I was responding yesterday. So, yeah, they typically have a ship that looks very sword-like in shape that basically takes low Earth or orbit and monitors for threats, and it's usually headed up by Agent Brand, who has inexplicably green hair.
Right. Emos.
So here's the official synopsis for season four. Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. returns with a vengeance for the fourth exciting season in an all-new time period. Tuesdays at 10 p.m.
Yay!
In the aftermath of their journey to another planet, director Phil Coulson and the rest of the team were driven more than ever to put an end to the Hydra organization. Little did they know that they were up against the deadliest threat they ever faced, an extremely powerful inhuman, Hive, who was transported back from Mavrith in the body of their worst enemy, Grant Ward. The team was able to thwart and kill Hive and take down Hydra, but they are still mourning the death of fellow agent and inhuman Lincoln Campbell. See, we forgot about Lincoln.
I didn't forget. I just didn't address him.
He's dead.
He died, and he's pretty much, as I understand it, the reason that Daisy sort of decides to leave. And from what I've heard from interviews with her, that it's an interesting journey this season where, like, she feels that she's doing good and she's justified in leaving, but it might also result in her making some more questionable decisions. Not necessarily bad decisions, as in evil, but, you know, bad choices in general, and becoming a little bit more like her Quake alter ego from the comics.
Mm.
In light of the Sokovia Accords, and with Hydra obliterated, S.H.I.E.L.D. has been legitimized again and no longer needs to operate in the shadows. Since the world presumes that Coulson is dead, the organization needed a new director, Jason O'Mara, to be the face of the organization. Coulson finds himself back in the role of an agent and teamed with Mac, and together they are tasked with tracking down and confirming the presence of enhanced people, aka Inhumans. They have been trying to track down and capture Daisy, aka Quake, who has gone rogue in an attempt to atone for her sins from the past. But with the world believing that Daisy is a dangerous outlaw who has taken down banks and bridges, the new director has no qualms about taking her down for good. Agent May is tasked with training special strike teams, and Fitz and Simmons have taken a big step forward in their relationship.
Ooh.
But with Simmons' new promotion as special advisor to the director in science and technology, Fitz, as well as her former team members, finds it hard to confide in or trust her since she's now the director's confidant.
Mm. Interesting. Drama.
So are they going to bring Robbie
Reyes will roar into the lives of Agent Coulson and the team as a junkyard mechanic who can turn on a dime into a terrifying Ghost Rider. Will Robbie be a friend or a foe to S.H.I.E.L.D., as well as the world itself? Meanwhile, Fitz discovers that socially awkward genius and friend Dr. Radcliffe, John Hanna, has started putting the finishing touches on a new secret invention.
Life Model Decoy. Yeah, we know that.
Yeah, they've actually already cast the first Life Model Decoy. They have a woman playing that part.
It's going to be, Irina Schrack from Playboy? Or
I don't know.
I mean, if you're going to have model decoy, damn it, go all the way. You know.
But isn't the point of a life model decoy to be a decoy? Like, to be a for copy of a person that exists?
I find an underwear model very decoying, so.
I can't argue with you there, John. But if I wanted someone to pose as me, I wouldn't expect them to look like someone other than me.
Okay.
She takes away all your coy.
Decoying. Yep. Oh, God.
This is where all the bad dad jokes come to die. Right here on the show.
I didn't realize you had a koi pond.
So,
and supermodels steal them from you all the time?
He keeps digging deeper.
So then make all the life model decoys look like Wolverine.
But he's not in this universe.
He should be.
I am somewhat curious about how they're handling Robbie Reyes. First of all, I don't know if either of you have read the run of introduction of Robbie Reyes's version of Ghost Rider.
I did not.
It's an interesting departure because he wasn't created the same way as the other Ghost Riders, as Johnny Blaze and the others. He's not inhabited by a demon per se. He's inhabited by essentially a serial killer who wanted to basically, you know, go beyond his death, you know, live beyond his death. And
you, Chucky?
Essentially. He somehow imbues Robbie with these powers that are very Ghost Rider like, but a little bit different. But
does he have a penance stare?
Well, he's also no. But he's also trying to sort of fight with him for control of his body. Like, if he could have it his way, he would take over complete control and basically be a serial killer again and get revenge on those who took him out. But
That should be interesting.
Right. So it's interesting how much of that they're going to adhere to and how they're going to explain his origin at all, given the, you know, lack of things of this level of magical nature in the show so far.
I wonder. Oh, see, Doctor Strange is coming out.
I wonder
soon.
If something. I wonder if something strange is going to happen on
this. Not
about as subtle as the anvil I dropped on my worst enemy on Minecraft. Look, you just
If it's something strange, not in the neighborhood yet.
Yeah. Are they going to tie this in with the Doctor Strange movie? Because that would be A, awesome. B, would make the cliffs that that DC has to climb to catch up to Marvel look like the cliffs of insanity. And C, it would be awesome because it's worth two awesomes on that.
Yeah.
I mean, they're usually sitting there with brooms cleaning up after the last big movie. So
I would definitely be on board with that. It just the timing doesn't line up exactly. Like, because this is premiering September 20th, and Doctor Strange doesn't come out until what, November?
Yeah. So. Yeah, no, that's true. My wonder is, though, is he going to be Ghost Rider at the beginning of the show, or is it going to take time to build up to
that's
that?
That's a possibility. They could leave that leeway to be able to lean on Doctor Strange as an explanation behind his ability.
A consultant?
Yes, potentially as a consultant.
Well, it'd be nice if they just had one scene where Coulson got off the phone and, you know, as somebody's walking in the room, he says, "Yeah, I'll talk to you later, Mr. Strange," and you know, hung up. Just right. Something.
No, well, he would probably be talking to Wong.
I mean, they already know about him, right? Because we saw that in the readout from.
Yeah, he was. He was mentioned explicitly by Sitwell in Winter Soldier.
Yes.
So it would suggest that whatever origin story setup they have for him in this movie, some of it, I assume the majority of him getting his powers happens in the past.
Well, why would not in the past? I mean, during, right? Or something? Or
I mean, in the past is as in a year or three ago, not like today.
Right. All right.
Why wouldn't Coulson call him Dr. Strange? He is a doctor, after all. I mean, come on.
Got to honor the titles.
To move us on, but we should move on.
Yes, let's talk about all the other Marvel shows that are coming out this fall.
Hey, there is another comic. All right, no, I'm going to hang my head in shame and just go ahead.
I was trying to set up for a moment of silence for the fact that there weren't any of them. But
no, there's not.
Well, I take that back. There is really one other Marvel show coming out this fall, and that would be Luke Cage.
Yeah.
Yes.
Power Man.
On Netflix.
That's going to be... That looks pretty awesome, although...
So we apologize in advance to our listeners if they don't hear anything from us that week, because we will be binging.
but there is one interesting thing about that. All of the promos that we've seen, there's no super-powered bad guy. It is your regular, run-of-the-mill, stupid mob boss.
Maybe not too stupid, but
the thing is that it's going to be very hard. I mean, seriously, if they play it right, unless they make Luke Cage really stupid and arrogant, it's going to be very hard to play that correctly where there's an actual rivalry instead of Power Man just walking through a wall, grabbing him by the throat and pulling a Superman.
I don't know enough, honestly. I don't know enough about the people he's up against in this particular show. I know that they have a bad guy lined up, and I don't know enough about that particular character. I haven't done my research. But I would be remiss to think that they're not going to have some sort of contention to him besides just numbers. Like, there's got to be some way that the bad guys he's up against can match him toe-to-toe if not directly in manpower or in muscle in some other way.
Yeah, so they can manipulate things. The problem being that so many of the writers these days rely on, you know, okay, I've got this Superman character. How do I stop him? Oh, well, you know, the bad guy gets kryptonite. Oh, well, think of another way. Okay, the bad guy has kryptonite fall on his head. No. Okay, he trips over some kryptonite in the street. No. See, but a real writer would take that concept and say, okay, we have this guy who can like fly this fast and run this fast and is super strong and almost impervious to anything at all, whatever. And what he would do is a smart guy would make him run around, you know, on his own terms. He would play him to the point where Superman couldn't figure out which way to go and break him that way instead of just relying on brute force like most of the writers tend to do. So it's possible. I'm just worried that I don't see many writers that could handle that kind of a scenario properly where if they do, then this will be an incredibly awesome series.
Well, this is, we will find this out on September 30th.
The villain is Cornell Stokes Cottonmouth from the comic books. He has super strength in the comic books, so he can go toe to toe with.
Wow. Lincoln. Didn't see any of that in usually they would, you know, show even a smidge of that in the promos, but I haven't seen anything like that.
It's possible that maybe he doesn't have that ability, at least off the bat, or B, he somehow gains that ability during the course of the show, or he keeps it under wraps and doesn't really like to get his hands dirty per se. They're going to twist it and have his, if he has abilities, they're going to be slightly different than the comic paradigm.
Does the sounding like Marlon Brando come with the super strength or?
he is like a mob boss and he's a drug lord in the comics. But yes, he, that is part of it. Sounding like Marlon Brando gives you.
Well, no, his last name is Cottonmouth, so I figure, you know.
Yeah. Anyway, September 30th.
We all look forward to seeing that. If it's anything like any of the other Netflix shows, we know we'll be blown away.
Yeah.
I almost pressed the unpause on my.
Will you stop?
Anyway, well, I guess that's all the Marvel news. We'll have to move on to DC's offense.
Poor DC. Oh well.
Not this way. In the TV stuff, it's not poor DC. They're actually doing really well.
Right.
Well,
than what's coming out on September 19th, which we will not speak of.
They have Teen Titans Go coming back.
And when's the Justice League Go come out?
That's sooner than you think. I'm ignoring all that.
I'm gonna watch that just for the hell of it because I watch all the DC stuff except for Teen Titans Go. I don't consider that DC,
but it is.
All right, so let's start with the first show
that we care about
of the week. No, of the week. Monday nights. She's staying on Monday nights, but she's moving to her network.
Yep.
And that of course is Supergirl,
which premieres October 10th.
Which
is like 2 weeks after everything else, or at least a week after.
Right, which has me curious, because actually there isn't anything solid hasn't been an official synopsis released either.
Yeah.
For season two, which makes me wonder, like, when she was brought into... This is what I'm wondering. When she was on CBS, was there a plan for season two that they threw away? And have they changed things... once you move to CW to now fit more in with the CW.
Well,
considering,
go ahead.
Okay. All right. Just one quick thing. Considering that some of the episodes included her snapping the neck of a ship or a power line, I don't think they planned the next episode, let alone the next season.
Or the next 5 minutes.
Yes.
No, I would say whatever plan they had wasn't necessarily thrown out the window, but they did have to pick up and move filming location and sets, you know, reset up sets. So whereas they premiered early last season, like around this time in September, I believe, or mid-September, it definitely, I'm sure, had an impact when they made that decision to move to CW and move to Vancouver for shooting. It's Vancouver, right? Or I couldn't remember if it's Vancouver or Toronto. But anyway, the, you know, moving up into Canada for cheaper shooting, it probably set them back a little bit time-wise and required them a little bit more runway. So that's why they're premiering, I think, a little bit later. Also, I think they just didn't want to jumble all of their stuff in the same week. Because also, Legends of Tomorrow is premiering the following week as well.
Right, right. I mean, and again, the other scenario that we've talked about before on the show is, could the Flashpoint things be affecting the show somehow? Well,
it already is, because Calista Flockhart is only returning as a non-series regular.
Right, but...
Now again, Supergirl can be a protected bubble because she's another universe.
Right.
We don't know.
Yeah, and I'm tending to believe that we're not going to see a ripple effect there based on Flashpoint. Even if they do take a whole 2 weeks to clean up the Flashpoint paradox, as I'm still leaning, I don't think that there's going to be a ripple effect that we'll see in Supergirl. Supposedly, we're going to see it in Arrow. But I think Supergirl will be intact. And
you don't think they're going to do a Final Crisis on this and actually merge the two universes?
I don't, because I don't know if that makes sense in the context of what they've established. I think it would be a really long reach for, I think audiences would also have.
It makes a lot of sense if you picture in your mind Supergirl and Flash and Arrow and all the other superheroes together. That makes sense to me. I don't care how it does.
Listen, John, I would love it. I would love it if they found a way to undo what they did.
Yeah.
John, also keep in mind, Ben didn't think there was any way they were going to bring Ghost Rider to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So anything is possible.
I will admit when I'm wrong. And that one, on that case, I was wrong. I've been right a lot of other times, but that one I was wrong.
I don't know so much merging them into the same universe as finding a way to easily cross over when they need to.
Soften the barrier.
Right. That I can see them doing. Without any strong synopsis, but we do know a few things. We know, well, again, they ended last season with they saved the Earth. They defeated the Kryptonians. You know, a lot of people survived from this planet.
Yeah.
They also found a pod at the end of the season.
That was sort of the cliffhanger ending of that pod that looked exactly like Supergirl's pod, which seemed cramped for anyone other than a small girl to be in. But, well, supposedly, from everything they've teased, it's not going to be a small girl that's going to be coming out of it.
It's Chris Wood.
Right.
Chris Wood. Yes. Okay, I missed that.
Yeah, I don't know what that means anyway. all I know is it's Chris Wood. It's like, hi, I'm Chris Wood. He pops out of the... I have no idea what it means.
No, he's playing another Kryptonian. Hold on, I have to do quick internet research. Mon-El, I believe, is the character name. Which there's canon to that. Mon-El? I'm looking at
Mon-El.
He says,
Mon-El, yeah.
Familiar to me.
Sounds like a weird form of
Mon-El. Oh, now?
It's a Kryptonian form of Mon-El.
Daxamites! Oh, God, they're Daxamites. Oh, those are the guys where if they get lead in their system, it never goes away, and it's as poisonous as kryptonite to them. I think that's, if I'm remembering that correctly.
So, yeah, he'll be playing Mon-El, which...
They're stronger similar, than kryptonites.
Right. They're similar power set, but their weaknesses and strengths are slightly different.
Yeah, they're stronger than Kryptonians, but their weakness is much more pronounced.
Okay. That's interesting. But there's also some other rumors. All right, so we know who's in the pod. So that's not a big reveal. Right. They also are supposedly bringing in one other character, and there's one character there's three other characters I know that they're bringing in. First, they're bringing in the President of the United States.
President Carter.
President Wonder Woman. She will always be known. Her Air Force One is invisible.
Will she be President Prince?
That would be awesome. I'm sorry. Anything that woman in is just awesome. She and she embraces the nerddom. She's just cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
And she still looks really good for her age. But that's
another
story.
Are you kidding me? She looks good for any age.
Yeah.
So yes, Linda Carter's coming in playing the president. And then we have, of course, Superman got cast, and he will be in the show. He won't be.
I heard some
a pair of boots right, anymore.
I heard someone compare. He does look a little. He's got a weird look about him, and I've only seen the stills, so maybe it'll be different when we see him in motion. But I think I saw someone had compared him to having the same face as Prince Farquaad from the Shrek movies.
Farquaad? Oh, God. I use that as an invective these days. Oh, man.
That's not good.
Well, he's got an odd chin and very bushy eyebrows. So
and very short legs? I don't understand.
Not in that respect. Just in facial.
Tyler Hoechlin?
I thought you were going to say Perry. I was going to be very upset. Yeah. It's Medea Superman.
Who was on the Teen Wolf show on MTV. He's not your... I mean, you know, his face, okay. But he's not your typical big build. Yeah. Superman either.
Well, neither was Christopher Reeve, but you know.
Look, I'm willing to give it the benefit of the doubt. We'll see how it plays out. I don't know. He might do a good job at it. I'm sure that someone is going to put together an edit of like the first time that like he and Supergirl have like a conversation, and someone's going to do an edit of that conversation where all you see is like his back or his boots. And you never actually hear him talk. And maybe texts pop up saying the things that he's saying.
Or maybe when he talks, all you hear is womp, 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 womp.
So there is a curiosity on my part of, you know, like they weren't going to bring Superman in. I kind of feel like that was their plan. But I think they went too far, like having his boots on the table.
I complained when
I saw that, like she just walks by him like,
well, it's
right. It's your cousin.
It's too big an elephant to write around. You can't write a Supergirl series without having him show up once in a while. There's just no way.
I disagree. I think they could have done it better. I think they could have had him exist and be in the world, but never have like the fact that he got called on as many times as he did in the first season bothered me. If they left him alone and left Supergirl to stand in her own boots, I think that would have been a stronger show.
Yeah,
and,
but that gets back to the whole, you know, okay, so there's this big world-ending event happening, and Superman is too busy saving a puppy. It doesn't make any sense, especially since he's always in contact with.
Right,
you know?
But I'm just saying that I would rather have had him be explained away as being involved in other things and not addressed on a regular basis, rather than what we got was, you know, him being constantly referenced as, and like, oh, he just happened to come through town, or oh, he just, you know, texted me and said sorry he couldn't help,
or he was immediately mind controlled,
like, or oh, I just passed out, so we're not going to actually see him on screen, but yeah, he saved my life. Mm-hmm. You know, that sort of thing, I think they played with him too much. I think they could have let Supergirl stand completely on her own and had Superman, yes, exist in that world, but never actually have to cross paths. And now they're bringing him in, and now they're going to have him show up more. And I'm hesitant about that because I think it weakens her as a character, unless they find a way to play that in her to her.
No, actually I'm sorry, I have to disagree as a writer. I would say that this gives them a chance to strengthen her character because
I think it does.
I
agree, but I'll believe it when I see it. I worry it'll go
they're
going to
change. I think they'll change the name of the show halfway through the season and call it the Supers, and they'll be fighting crime together as cousins. Anyway,
oh, there is another rumor I've heard, by the way, of someone they might be adding to the show.
That. Yes, I think we might be thinking of the same. I hope we're thinking of the same person.
Well, Ghost Rider.
No, Ms. Martian.
Martian, oh, yes. Yeah, there was an article I saw that, because part of the thing is, I can't think of the actor's name who plays Martian Manhunter.
Yeah, that guy.
They're going to have him deal more with his Martian side in this season, and you'll see him as Martian Manhunter more often.
They have the budget
this season. Apparently.
Well, okay. So my curiosity, though, is now granted my exposure to Ms. Martian is limited, and most of it is derived from the Young Justice cartoon. If only we had a DC expert around to clarify my perceptions, but unfortunately we just have John.
I'm not going to take offense to that yet.
but my point though is in the context of Young Justice, like whereas she appeared to look like a green Martian, one of the reveals partway through the show was she was actually a white Martian
yep.
that John Jones had helped sort of come around. And I wonder if they're going to follow that in the show.
Well, they have already had a white Martian in the show, so they might
have. They have.
That's a good. That is a good question. I wish we knew somebody who read DC Comics and could answer if that was just something they did in Young Justice, or if that was
canon.
Oh, pardon me. If that was canon, yes. Perhaps our listeners know.
Perhaps John knows Young Justice.
if any of our listeners knows, please tweet at us. John is hashtag John is stupid. And tell us the answer.
That was very subtle.
You want subtle?
So that covers Monday.
Tuesday.
So Tuesday will just flash by us, and we won't even notice it happened.
Oh, okay.
Oh, is that
because there's nothing else on Monday nights? By the way,
is that because you know a certain city that apparently is like three steps away from Metropolis? A guy who lives there and.
Look, any place is three steps away for him.
All right. All I want to say about that show is the showrunner. What's his name? You're the one who shared the article with me, Ben.
I did. What did I share an article about?
The city that's three steps away from.
God, you can't even Metropolis. Say it.
No, I can't.
You're talking about the showrunner. The showrunner. The showrunner. Bruno. Oh, right. Bruno Heller.
The showrunner. Yes.
Bruno Heller. Yes, Bruno Heller, the showrunner of a show that's on Monday nights.
The man who thinks that superheroes don't work on television.
Yes, who writes for a superhero. And all I can say is when he said that, it explains so much about Gotham.
Yeah. Well, there's things to be explained. But yeah, it did cover a lot of open questions.
Of why he's destroying it so much, because he doesn't care.
Right.
He doesn't like superheroes, obviously. So he'll do whatever he wants that if he thinks it's entertaining.
So what's next then? And let's talk about something entertaining.
Moving on to Tuesday, we do have The Flash coming October 4th.
Yay!
From what I've read about all this, I know they've been keeping rather tight-lipped about exactly what the first episode is going to entail and how this Flashpoint paradox is going to play out. But what I find interesting, and from what I have heard, is that the way that things will get muddled, it's not that he loses his powers. He will still be a speedster when he's in this alternate version of events. But instead, he loses his memories. Like the memories he would have had in this timeline start to replace the memories he had from the alternate from the original. Which makes him
which did happen did happen in the comics.
Yeah, in Flashpoint. Yep.
Okay. So then because of that, he sort of starts to forget that he was even a speedster and things.
Well, that doesn't happen because he quickly tries to go back. But when he restores everything back to normal, he has the memories of both timelines.
Right.
Which is usual. That's canon. He always seems to have the memories of whatever alternate timeline or wherever he's done before, even though nobody else does.
As long as they don't take too many notes from the movie The Butterfly Effect and having him get nosebleeds every time his memories change.
Oh, they're going to...
That's a little weird.
No, but the funny thing is, it's like, it's TV. They do have to do something visual every time his memories change, don't they?
Right.
Well, yeah, it's because we're too dumb to you know, notice the acting itself.
Right.
We need a visual cue.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because... If you think about it logically, we're talking about a superhero show.
Yeah.
At some point, Flash had to get his powers, right?
Yeah.
Because because we know it's all related to Thawne going back in time, trying to kill him, killing his mother, and then he got stuck in our time era. He kills Wells. He creates the accelerator to try to accelerate the timeline. It blows up. He gets his powers.
Right.
But he had to have hated Flash in the first place.
There had to be a timeline, arguably.
There
had to be a prime timeline where Eobard Thawne never came back. The Flash still came to exist. And Eobard Thawne still came to exist and created the whole loop of things that happened. So there has to be some prime, some Barry Prime, which we've talked about before, who still becomes the Flash, just under slightly different auspices.
Right.
Which this could be that. I don't know. It's very confusing at this
point.
I don't
know. See, given that we have almost like no information on how they're going to do this yet, and maybe they're still trying to figure it out.
Right.
You know, because
overanalyze it.
Yeah. Well, it was a very bold move for them to do this. And I keep thinking that the only reason that they would have taken this step to do Flashpoint for the TV series was to merge the two universes so they could get Supergirl on board. Otherwise, it's a very hard thing. It's a disruptive thing to do to all of their series because there's no way they can have Arrow and the rest sit there and, not have it affect them.
Yeah. Well, and I think we'll see some of ripple effects of this particular continuity as well. But I'm still doubtful, John. I'm not saying it's impossible. Here's what I think. I don't think that the events of the season finale will have been what merged the universes. I could potentially see a version of things where he ends up fixing things again. Like keeping himself from stopping Thawne again.
Mm-hmm.
And just because he's messed with the timeline so many times, or because of the circumstances under which he does that, where we see the Barry waving him off kind of scene that was alluded to at the end of season one, the fourth Barry.
Shadow.
Then maybe that will be the point where he's changed things so many times in that moment that it does cause a merging of like it causes a enough of an energy distortion in the time stream that it does merge the worlds. And it would be interesting because it could be the sort of thing where like after he gets back to his regular time, after having fixed things, it's back to the way it was generally at the end of last season before he went back in time. But oh, by the way, Kara called and she wants to know what you're doing for lunch, kind of thing.
True. I really am at the wait and see.
Yeah.
Point with this because the whole thing with so if he is a speedster, and of course Wally, we have seen clips. Wally has powers as a speedster,
right. And we don't know which continuity that's in.
This is true. We don't know which continuity that belongs to yet. It does. From the pictures and what I've seen, it does kind of look like they're going against each other. So they might not. What the heck was that?
Oh, that was John was trying to be dramatic.
Oh.
that was reality stretching, from the explanation you're trying to give.
Anyway, what I'm saying is we don't know where that all fits, but there has to be. Here's the thing: is there has to be some kind of jeopardy that causes him to want to set things back.
What does Alex Trebek have to do with all this?
Oh my God. This is where dad jokes come to die.
Absolutely.
There has to be some kind of world destroying event that will cause him to want to set things right again, but what that is, I have no idea. It's tough to do when there isn't a Justice League. There isn't the entire DC universe. There's a very small subset.
Right. I mean,
of the DC universe.
Well, not that much small a subset, seeing as how we're going to see the Justice Society on Legends of Tomorrow,
right.
And we're going to have a 4-series crossover that's coming that will have Supergirl and Flash and Arrow.
I know. And Legends of Tomorrow. And be a musical.
And Beetlejuice.
Well, that's only 2 more universes over, so
right.
It's a very screwy universe. It's kind of
it won't be complete until Constantine shows.
God, that would be awesome.
It would be awesome. But, I think really what'll be the catalyst for Flash to finally, go back and undo the damage he's done. Because everything generally looks rosy, except for Cisco seemingly being an asshole all of a sudden. It'll be when he goes over to Star City and sees Tommy running around as the Arrow that he'll know things have gone too far awry.
Okay, so you've killed off Oliver. Is that what I'm saying, Eric?
And don't forget that Black Canary is going to be showing up in this. In what form, we're not exactly sure yet. But so if maybe she's coming in because as an effect of this, or it's because of the fiddling with the time stream with the Legends of Tomorrow.
Right. I mean, Barry has played a part in events where Black Canary has been adjacent. So it would be you would assume that there's going to be ripple effects to her and to Oliver and to that universe as well. Not the universe, but that set of characters.
Oh, wait a second.
What?
Sisko is the one that created the devices that gave her powers.
That's true. But she was still a vigilante before that.
Yep.
Right.
He didn't, and she was using a version of that even before Sisko gave her that version, because her sister got had a thing. Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah.
And don't forget, just to add some interesting spice to this mix, Kevin Smith will do some Supergirl episodes, I think.
Yeah, I know he's been vying to direct a whole bunch of things and write some things as well. So,
well, he is. He's definitely doing. He has announced that he's doing an episode of Supergirl and an episode of Flash, and then both in the beginning half of the season.
Yeah, he's probably making up for yoga hosers. And let's just hope he keeps it down to a little bit more yoga, a little less hosers.
Yeah.
Anyway.
We love you, Kevin Smith.
We do. I don't know. If I end up seeing a whole episode that centers around CC jitters and them complaining about having to work when they're not even supposed to be there, then I might be a little disappointed.
Look, everything worked in his episode that directed last season.
I'm teasing. Yes.
Except for casting his friend in that bit part.
Yeah. So,
I'm sorry. When he walked out, and it's like, "There's my car," and then it blows up. It was like that just took you out of the episode, mm-hmm. and then the rest was fine again. Yeah,
it didn't bother me too much.
All right.
But anyway, I think. Well, the only other thing I'll mention that I've heard of with Flash is I know that supposedly they're introducing Savitar, which is a Indian based speedster whose powers are slightly different.
Why can't they stay away from the speedsters?
I don't know. And they're also supposedly
because it's the Flash.
And we might see the Black Racer become a thing.
Yeah, but there's so much more they could do with this. It's like, you know, you use it. I mean, not that they're doing a bad job. They're obviously kicking Marvel's ass, and the shows are a bright star in the DC universe. But
you can't just win everything with presence. Like you have to also, you know, earn it with
quality. Right, but if you're always relying on another speedster, it's like with Superman, every bad guy is made of kryptonite.
Right.
It's okay, you did two speedsters so far. Give us a break. Show us something that challenges him on an intellectual level, you know? Again, a smart villain would have Barry running around, you know, all over the place not knowing which way to turn. And still be able to get done his evil deeds, you know? It just, you don't have to be super fast to do it.
You mean like the trickster?
Yeah.
If they could do a little bit more of the trickster.
Someone you can rely on.
Right. I mean, I don't get me wrong. I love, you know, Mark Hamill and his depictions. But, like, I think that he would need someone that was a little bit less of, you know, the, what do you call it? The cartoon Joker and a little bit more of the Heath Ledger, you know,
version
of the trickster.
Fairly serious.
Right. Well, I still don't understand why they, you know, started down the road with the Rogues and then all of a sudden Captain Cold becomes a good guy.
And then dead.
And then dead. Right. Yeah.
Ish.
Ish. Right.
He'll right. Back. Just like everybody somehow. Else.
So
he's on a show about time travel. He'll be back.
Well, I feel like I can't think of anything else there is to talk about with the Flash. So maybe we shoot on over to Wednesday?
Well, let's go, because we got very little time here left.
Yes, so...
Are you timing us, John?
Yes, I have work tomorrow. I'm tired. Let's see, what else? So
we have Arrow.
Yeah.
Which is coming out on October 5th.
So this is the last season of Flashbacks. That should be cool. Yes. Unless in the sixth season... That. Yeah, but if they go to season 6 and I start seeing flashbacks from season 1, I'm going to be very upset.
It would be interesting if they somehow... I actually, before they announced that they were that this would be the last season of flashbacks, I was kind of hoping that they'd find a way to creatively give us a alternate B story from season 1 that we didn't see that somehow fits into season 6.
They like did that with Vixen, though, right? I mean, sort of like that. They could do that again with Vixen or some other superhero.
Right. Like, they could introduce someone in season six, for instance, like a new teammate or sidekick or something, and then have the flashbacks be around like what was happening to him adjacent to the Arrow doing what the Arrow does, you know, in season one.
Well, that'll be the that'll be the everlasting effect from Flashpoint, is that he actually spent 7 years.
There was a time dilation there that we didn't know about. So the one thing I have to assume, well, first of all, we know that there's supposedly going to be, from the little snippets of things that people say at cons, that there will be an impact to Arrow based on the Flash. So we may see some of that. But I assume, again, that's maybe an episode or two before that gets rectified and we see Ollie back in his green tights training up new Team Arrow, which seems like an interesting new show that they're creating with Mr. Terrific and various other recruits that can't do a fish ladder for worth a damn.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's I don't know. I mean, is it a feeling of they're kind of hitting a reset button?
I think that they are trying to. So last season they had the whole mystical elements that they introduced. It was good. But I think they're trying to get back to baseline. You know, essentially, you know, Green Arrow and his whole thing, he's supposed to be the gritty, realistic, you know, borderline Batman type, show. So I think they're trying to get back to those roots with this season.
And not have to have him defeat the magic evil with good thoughts.
Right. So, because they have Flash for the Fantastic, they have Supergirl for the Alien, and they have, the Legends of Tomorrow for all the really wacky time travel-y, you know, meeting all sorts of
timey-wimey
stuff. So it allows Arrow to, like I said, go back to its roots and be, you know, street level, dealing with corruption and darkness and no parents and opposite
light. And the Joker and the Riddler, we know. Oh, wait.
That started to sound like Lego Batman's theme song.
That's what I was
Darkness, no parents.
Super rich. That makes it better. So.
Okay. So, yeah. I mean, to me, it feels like a reset button. I kind of hope it works out well. You know, we'll see. Yeah.
We'll see how much Felicity Smoke is on again. I'd like to.
Well, she seems. I've gotten the impression that she's supposed to still be, you know, participating and part of the team. So.
Well, that's the funny thing is, like, I didn't realize this. You know, that there's so much controversy around her character on the show, where there are people that love their relationship and there are people that hate their relationship. Yeah. And it's a constant battle to try to balance between the two groups of fans, you know, and I'm kind of like, well, if you really don't like the relationship, why are you still watching the show?
There are other shows to watch.
Right. So,
well, it's a battle between the people who are upset about the canon, you know, Black Canary and Arrow, which I myself, I like it very much because with the Bruce Timm stuff, they did get together in a lot of the DC movies, animated movies. It was very cool to see them work together and fall in love and all that. And then you've got the other side of the coin with all the, you know, manic pixie dream girl people who really like Felicity Smoke getting with superheroes. So,
yeah.
Realistically, I don't know who to vote for.
Honestly, I don't care if they're together or not. As long as she gets to be cool and smart and brainy and let this be a little less. Like, my issue with their romance is the emotional roller coaster of it. Like, take a little bit of that out, make it a little bit more stable, and like maybe be an example of what a good relationship can be, whether it's a friendship or a relationship. Just let it be stable and strong, and let her be smart and clever and figure things out, and let things organically go from there.
And for the love of all that's good and pure, go get some of the writers for Gilmore Girls and have her still murder all the similes and metaphors, because that is hysterical. It's what we fell in love with.
Well, they're busy making an additional season of the Gilmore Girls.
Yes, I know. So the writers are there somewhere. Just like send them an email, have them send them back a little bit of material. It's perfect.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
She's anyway. The missing Gilmore Girl. I mean, you know, some of the things she says. Never mind. It's just me, probably.
I think it was a missed opportunity to not have that what's her name be her mom on the show. The woman.
Oh no, Lauren. Crap. Yes. Now I'm going to get hit by some of the fans of that too.
I don't think any fans of Gilmore Girls will listen to this show.
Maybe not. I'm just saying that
who says there's no crossover?
Yeah.
Duh.
Moving on.
Anyway.
By the way, a little side note with Arrow. I heard that apparently recently...
Lauren Graham! Sorry.
Lauren Graham, yes.
I typed slow.
Stephen Amell had said that he wanted to go on American Ninja Warrior.
Yes.
I mean, we know he can do the fish ladder, but could he... I'd be curious if he really could do the entire course, how well he would do it.
If you've seen American Ninja, he's got actually a fairly good chance because we Americans, even as ninjas, are not that great.
Well, did you see the episode where the stunt girl from Supergirl did the course?
No.
Oh, it was phenomenal. First of all, she was dressed kind of like Wonder Woman, but she did the whole course and she did it like it was effortless.
Yeah, cool.
So you should look that up. Worth watching.
So anyway.
So that was Wednesday.
That's Wednesday.
Yes. And on Thursday they rested.
No, they didn't.
No.
Maybe they should have, but we'll leave that to be determined.
It's not that bad of a show.
No.
It's not Which a great show. What,
DC Legends?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were going to go season 11 of Supernatural.
No, that's not on Thursday.
But are they really coming back?
The only thing supernatural about that is that they're still on after after 11 seasons.
Well, it's because they made a deal with the devil to keep that show on.
Obviously.
So,
I can't believe they're coming back for another season.
It is kind of crazy.
How many times have they killed off the main characters?
Well, I mean, yes, they've killed off the main characters so many times, and I think they've kind of gone to the nth degree. Like, the last season, the penultimate, thing they had to deal with was literally God up against his, counterpart, darkness, as the force that they had to contend with and keep from destroying the universe. And they fixed it with love. But,
oh, no, not the magic of friendship.
Essentially.
Taste the rainbow. God.
That's pretty much how they fixed it. It was not bad, but it was kind of that way. But yeah, where do you go next? Like, essentially they had, you don't go, there's no one higher than God.
You have them show up on the set of Lucifer to take Lucifer out.
But, well, okay. Because I was going to say, they've dealt with Lucifer on their show a number of times already.
So, at least maybe he's a faker.
So,
yeah, it's beginning to feel like the last season of Stargate Universe or Stargate SG-1 or a bunch of the other shows that just all wore out their welcome and I don't know. But speaking
anyway,
of wearing out your welcome, no.
let's talk about the ghetto Millennium Falcon that we have in this Legends of Tomorrow show.
Well, I mean, I don't know. Here's another thing too, right? Legends was a short season.
They
started a midway through.
Right.
Now they've got a full season in front of them.
But they still have a constrained, effects budget. It's still, I think, and honestly, I get the impression, like, while they tried to explain at the end of the season that a lot of their, half victories were because the Time Masters were manipulating things the whole time to Vandal Savage's advantage. I think a lot of the choices were made because of budget. They didn't want, there are so many situations where you just throw everything at it. You know where the problem is. Throw your best at it and take him out, but that would have cost him more.
Yeah, I mean, when you have a firestorm in the chamber, you usually use the firestorm.
Right.
They did not use the firestorm.
No,
I mean,
they used
like
them
every
very
episode,
sparingly, and there was more for drama than it was for action.
Well, and it was always. You two make up like one of our most powerful members. Okay, you go this way, knock, and the other guy go that way.
Right.
let's split the party every time.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
No,
and they have their own version
that way.
They also have their own version of Iron Man, and he basically, was almost never in his suit. So,
yeah,
I don't know. It didn't always add up to me.
No, that's true.
Well, what they did,
right? But and that's what I'm saying. Now that they have a full season, Were they given a bigger budget, or do they have the same budget now? They have to stretch it out over a full season.
I'm optimistic simply because I'd like to see what they do with the Justice Society. I think by introducing more characters, I'm more interested. Like seeing Stargirl and Hourman and all these other, you know, vintage Golden Age characters imagined in the show. I'm interested in that, and I'd like to see how that goes. And the fact that they're actually, whereas last season they kept saying, oh, well, the characters could change any time, and they never even did. Now they're actually adding an older version of Vixen and might actually do some other things to, like, tweak the team. I'm interested to see where that might go.
Right. Okay. So
I want to see Alan Scott on there. I want to see how they'd work with that.
Well, I mean, they ended last season. Randall Savage is dead. The Hawk people went off to be romantic.
So what, they're going to open with her sitting on an egg?
Well, they're not on the show anymore. Right. They were just in that season. The Justice Society shows up. Right. But then in the sizzle reel that was released, they show, they're talked about the villains are dealing with, and one of them is Reverse Flash.
Yeah. Well, they're also dealing which shows with, you, it seems like they have a team of people they're dealing with of villains. Like what's it? The League of Doom?
Yeah.
Yes. Their version of the League of Doom.
Which is basically, here's some guys that everyone else
Legion of
Doom, sorry. Which is like, Damian Dark and Reverse Flash, and I forget who the other two are.
Damian Dark was never a member of the Legion of Doom.
They're never gonna get the real Legion.
I know. Now on the other hand, dealing with Reverse Flash, that makes complete sense because Reverse Flash is bumping around time, changing things for his own edification, and what are they supposed to do? Fix the timeline. So of course they're gonna bump up against him at some point if they know they're time masters.
Yeah.
So hold on, wait a minute. We've had Captain Cold, we have Reverse Flash, we have Superman now, so we can get a Lex Luthor. Who are we missing? Black Manta? We don't have an Aquaman.
So. Gorilla Grodd, Black Manta, and we have Grodd.
Who was the Batman rogue in that
group? Solomon Grundy.
Okay. Yeah. Then they've had him in Arrow.
Right. And we've had Gorilla Grodd. We have the Legion of Doom, except for
Cheetah.
You know,
don't forget Cheetah.
Yeah. We don't have Wonder Woman, but they could.
Wonder Woman's playing a president.
Oh, that's true. Wonder Woman's playing a
president. So they need an old Cheetah.
Sinestro. They had Sinestro on there too. It's all coming back to me. So all we need is a really bad Sinestro, really bad CGI Sinestro.
Can we get Ryan Reynolds to play Green Lantern?
Well, they've already proven they're good at really bad CGI, so I think we're fine now.
Oh, well, considering the budget, that's probably all
worth. I get it. I totally get it. You know, it's not so much the effects as what they do with them. And that's what I'd like to see the plots be a little bit stronger.
It's not the size of the effects budget. It's how you use it. Is that what you're trying to say?
That's what I'm saying. Yes,
exactly what he's saying.
And if they use it wisely, they could make some amazing TV childs.
Well, I definitely think them bringing Reverse Flash in shows there will be more touch points with the other CW shows.
Well, and that raises an interesting question. Will the events of Flashpoint on The Flash lead to Reverse Flash's availability to be part of this Legion of Doom?
Probably, because he doesn't get killed.
Right. He erased that, so he doesn't get killed because he erased the timeline.
He erased the timeline. He got erased from the time. Yeah. Exactly. He erased the erasure.
So
how that works.
But what continuity is going to be left? Like,
Well, he still hates Flash.
Well, we're talking DC here, so continuity isn't really a thing.
I guess my point is this. So maybe he eventually lets his mom get killed and comes to peace with that, but does he also let Reverse Flash go and take over Wells' life and let all that play out as it did? Or does he change that part?
I don't know.
So
that's a good question. Well, the thing is,
also,
how long are the effects of Flashpoint going to last throughout the season? Because, right. You know, we keep saying one or two episodes. Does that mean then Reverse Flash will only be one or two episodes of Legends of Tomorrow.
Right.
Or this is all very confusing.
And also, where the hell did Captain Cold come from and why is he bad again?
That's a good question. Well, this is all very confusing. Well, that's
because Barry wasn't there in the beginning to set him on the right path.
Oh, that's right.
Barry is the one who sent him on the right path.
So if Barry never did that, he would have never been. So that erases season one of Legends of Tomorrow.
They were in the time stream. So what they did in the time stream is protected technically. So it only erases.
Because it's a wobbly, wibbly, wobbly, timey, wimey kind of thing. This is not Doctor Who.
No, what it means is you now have a universe where there are two Captain Colds, one that died and the other one who continued the timeline.
Good.
Yeah, who went past the point where he joined the crew of the Nebuchadnezzar or whatever they call it. Yeah. So,
the Nebuchadnezzar?
Whatever the hell. I keep forgetting the name of the ship, damn it.
It's not the damn Enterprise,
so I'm not really like making an attempt to remember the name.
Why do I know that name? Hold on, what is that from?
The Nebuchadnezzar? Yeah. Oh, come on, that's from The Matrix, damn it.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
You took the blue pill, didn't you?
Yes. Wouldn't you?
No.
Wave Rider.
The Wave Rider, yes. 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 So, yeah, what else? Anything else on DC's Legends of Tomorrow? I know that they have Obsidian on there. I know that they're going to have Dolph Lundgren. Or is he?
He's on Arrow. DC
Dolph Lundgren's going to be on Arrow.
The DC version of The Punisher?
What? No, I think Dolph Lundgren is going to help with the storyline of how, how Arrow became a member of the Russian mafia or whatever, or how he became a captain in it.
Speaking of Dolph Lundgren, have either of you seen Kindergarten Cop 2?
No.
No.
And that exists.
The only way I'm going to see that is if it's reviewed by the... What?
It was released like last year. I can't even understand. How do these things happen?
All right. Look,
who pays for these things?
It was a direct-to-video sequel. It's on Netflix.
I know, it was pretty much direct to Netflix. Like, they pay for that?
All right, so what you do is we all go to the YouTube channels for the Cinema Snob and the Nostalgia Critic, and we flame them asking them to review it. One of those guys will do it.
Maybe. There was something else that came around.
Or we do our own funny review of it.
I don't think we have too much dad humor, I think.
No, that's perfect.
Who is your father and what does he do?
Well, actually, we
it's not a tumor.
It will be very hard not to step on the toes of, say, Everything Wrong With or How It Should Have Ended or one of the two aforementioned people or
to be not nearly as talented as them. I don't think that's much of a problem.
I think that's.
Anyhow. Okay, anything else? Let's see. No, I can't think of it. I'm not seeing anything on my list here.
Right. Those are all the main shows that we follow and talk about on here that are coming out. I know they're working on some new things that should be coming along. But there's
new?
Nothing. Yes.
Like as in like new ideas or just why don't we bring Strawberry Shortcake to live action? Yay!
No, I mean, for instance, there's the... show Powerless, which is a sitcom that's coming out.
All right.
Mm-hmm. There is some like X-Men-ish TV show.
Oh, Legion.
Legion, that's it.
All right.
That's coming out, but I don't know when that's coming out. That's somewhere on the horizon. And I know that there's a concept that Berlanti is shopping around for a Black Lightning show, but that's sort of nebulous right now.
Do Static Shock, not Black Lightning. No offense, but Static Shock has a much better origin story, a much better background.
Well, the version of it that he's proposing sounds interesting because it's not an origin. He's older, he's established, he's retired. but because of things going on with his daughter and his niece, he's getting pulled back into that.
Because they have powers too. That's been release I saw that in, but there was a shot of or a small short with him and that.
Right. And I did hear also that there's some push for a Runaway show for a Runaway show, possibly rumored to involve what's her name? Squirrel Girl.
Yeah.
Anna Kendrick?
I don't know.
No,
not necessarily.
Just the character.
Actually, so one person who's expressed interest in that character, other than Anna Kendrick, is the girl from the show that you're watching, John. the girl who plays Barb in Stranger Things.
Oh no, really? Her?
Yeah.
Ooh, that might actually work.
That's what I'm saying.
Huh. No, seriously. If you haven't seen Stranger Things, first pause this, go away for 8 hours, finish it, come back. But what's her name?
Finish this first because we're almost
Her name is Natalia Dyer. Natalia Dyer. And she's a 21-year-old playing a high school kid, which normally, yeah, it kind of works, but you kind of, watching her, you kind of get the hint that she's really older. But she, yeah, I think she could do Squirrel Girl. Maybe I'd rather see Anna Kendrick do it.
She definitely looks like a version of Squirrel Girl that's been popular in the comics lately. Like, there's been a lot of different depictions of her, but that short-haired, slightly more curvaceous version of her is sort of the leading version these days in the Unbeatable Squirrel Girl comics.
Yeah, but I technically like, I mean, not that the Marvel animated series are anything great at all, but her depiction in, Spider-Man Extreme or whatever they're calling it now. I like that depiction, you know?
Ultimate Spider-Man.
Ultimate, yeah.
Called. Been Ultimate Spider-Man from
the beginning. Yeah, whatever.
I know. John's just not always on top of it. Yeah, and they definitely didn't. She had the more thinner, more Anna Kendrick-ish look. That's also been in the comics lately. Because the thing is that Marvel does not use these characters in one place at one time. They're
like, either way, it'd be interesting. I'd like to see that because of all of the background that they have to play with, all of the canon that they have to play with, where she's basically defeating. As a DC guy, I have to ask: is this like one of the greatest kept Marvel secrets of all time that she, this one C-rated, you know, C-rank superhero Squirrel Girl, has been going around kicking the ass of every major villain in the entire Marvel universe?
Because it's done tongue in cheek. Right, it's done as a joke.
And it's not as if she's literally going out and seeking out the strongest villains. She just has, and it's not like her list of people she's beat is an arm long. Like, it's a small handful of people, but definitely it's people that arguably should have overpowered her and that she's beaten.
Yeah, but I heard she took out Thanos and Galactus.
She took out Thanos twice.
But that's
she took out Thanos twice.
Because
and Doctor Doom.
What happens is a writer will say, no one could beat Thanos. And then the main writer on Squirrel Girl, the Unbeatable Squirrel Girl, will go and write a panel where she beats Thanos.
Right. But it's
in the next
and
story.
It's all tongue in cheek, and you never see her actually fight Thanos. She just ends up against him. And then you have this post panel where, you know, Watu, the Watcher, there is like, I can't believe it, but he really was Thanos. It wasn't a doppelganger, you know, and you beat him, you know. And she's like, yep, like it was no big deal.
They need to bring in somebody like Straczynski or something to write her. Or Joss Whedon. Oh, he could do wonders with that. Oh my God.
Joss could handle that really well. Absolutely.
That would be awesome.
No, not at all.
Oh, that would make the Marvel Universe explode right there. His writing is perfect for that character.
No, sorry. I don't see it.
Okay.
I think he's over.
Well, you're wrong.
Someone's being contrarian now.
I mean that in the nicest way possible, but you're wrong. Right.
Well, until they introduce any new superhero shows, I think we've run out of things to talk about here.
Okay.
This is true. There are more comic book related shows, but there are no other superhero shows. That is why we're not speaking of them.
Right.
Right.
Gotham is not a superhero show.
You mentioned
show.
It, damn it. Oh, there go half our listeners.
You broke the for Jinx now.
And for those who like Gotham and are going to post on our Facebook wall or tweet at us, I don't understand all the Gotham hate. You're obviously not a fan of the Batman comic.
Oh, no, bring the hate. I love the smell of it. Oh, bring it. Just come on. Just I want to see the most vile stuff. Come on, because we love it because it's all tweets. Oh, it just feeds us. Just give it to us.
I just need an outro to use in these shows that means both thank you and I'm sorry at the same time. But I can't think of a phrase that fits that.
Hakuna Matata? Oh, wait, no.
Yeah.
All right, guys. I think the show has run its course for the week.
And then some.
And then some.
Oh, yes. 3 weeks? In 3 weeks?
Oh, yeah. Okay, so the same week that these a lot of these shows are going to be premiering, boys and girls, we will be walking around New York Comic Con. John and I will.
Anyway, I brought my helmet. I'll bring my helmet.
I'll be walking around, but I won't be walking around there. Just aimlessly around my...
And John has a portable studio with him that he will be recording with.
Yes, the superhero the Superhero Speak mobile unit shall be deployed.
Yes, so hopefully he will be wearing a Superhero Speak t-shirt. And if you see him and you're a fan of the show, come up and say hi, and maybe he'll talk to you for a minute.
I was going
to
say,
especially if you're wearing a costume.
Probably shouldn't do that.
Especially if you're wearing a costume that catches his eye, he might want to talk to you. So I'm just saying. And we have something very special for everyone in the works that we're not ready to announce yet. But
you're setting me up to get something.
Something big is coming down the pike, boys and girls, for early February. And as we get closer, we'll tell you what that is.
But just a reminder, if you do approach John or Dave at New York Comic Con and you're in costume, you have to be careful. Because if you're wearing a cape, you could just get caught in something.
Yes. So, boys and girls, as always, don't let your cape get caught in the door. Have a good week.